So let's begin with a word of prayer. Father, thank you for this afternoon. We do ask that allow Mrs. Grummer to continue to get better, allow her health to be stabilized. We do think of Justine as well, Father. Allow her to not have a condition that gets worse, but that she will improve. And if no improvement happens, Father, we do ask that thou would allow her to get the right opinions and care that she needs. In Jesus' name, amen. Welcome to the class. I'm glad you came. It's good to see you. Let's look for turn to Numbers chapter 14. Numbers chapter 14. If anyone wants to send an email, they can do that, or call up, they can go ahead and do that. If they want to join the class extensively, we got a phone number, you can call that as well. Jacob may have his, maybe at the hospital with his mother. She was scheduled to come home. I haven't talked to him. This is based on what you were telling me last night. Or the night before last night. So I haven't talked to Jacob recently, but... But anyway, we won't. When they call in, they'll call in. But in Numbers chapter 14, let's start reading. John, go ahead with verse 1, please.
And all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night.
Go ahead, Bill. I'm sorry, Tammy.
And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron, and the whole congregation said unto them, would God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God we had died in this wilderness.
All right, Mom, verse 3, please, of Numbers chapter 14. Yes. Mm-hmm. Okay. It's all right. You find what you're looking for? Numbers 14. Good. I'm glad. Numbers 14.
And what verse?
Verse 3. Yes, and I'll read, we have a phone call from upstairs, so I'm going to read verse 4. And they said one to another, let us make a captain, and let us return into Egypt. Okay, I'm sorry about that. Thank you for reminding me, thank you for telling me. Okay, so... If and go ahead and read verse 6, Tammy.
5.
Did I read verse 5? Okay, read verse.
You read 4.
I read 4. Okay, I guess I'm having a hard time counting.
Aaron fell on their faces before the assembly of the congregation of the children of Israel.
All right. Now I apologize. You weren't able to hear anyone that read before, except Tammy. Me, it was by a mistake. But I trust you'll be able to hear us now. Let us know if you can. So, we are in Numbers, and this is chapter 14. The Bible is revealing to us some things that were happening in the lives of the children of Israel. And this is all part of their history. Sometimes their history is... I have the good history, and sometimes it's not so good. When they're doing what God wants them to do, it's a good history. When they're doing something that God doesn't want them to do, it's a bad history. But nonetheless, we have these, they're written for our examples. They're written for our benefit that we can learn from them. I mean, before we came along, before the New Testament came along, before the cross, you know, they were still there. They were recorded, and we still have them because of preservation. We have these words, the record of what happened. And we notice in verse 1 the response that these people are having. the children of Israel have a particular response to the punishment, the judgment that came upon them. And we see that the whole congregation lifted up their voices, and they were weeping, they were crying, they were mourning and bemoaning the fact of what their punishment was, because they failed to, you know, obey God. They decided to listen to the majority rather than to God, and to what Joshua and Caleb encouraged them to do. Have a thought about that, Tim?
Well, at this point, it just seems like they're weeping because they're thinking that God is going to slay them in the promised land, because they've gotten this report from the 10 spies.
Okay.
That's an evil report. There are giants in the land.
So they're responding to the report, is what you're saying. They're responding. This is the response to the report. John?
I see it as a lack of their faith in God. Mm-hmm. For what he said he would do.
Right.
There's no confidence.
Yes, they had a very little, small amount of faith. And, of course, when we ask ourselves the question, how does this apply to us today? What's an example? How do we learn from this? I mean, we have to have the faith that sometimes they fail to have. Sometimes we do, and sometimes we don't. Sometimes we follow right after their model. Sometimes we don't. And sometimes we do the right thing. Sometimes we do the wrong thing. John, do you want to do question two, please?
Question two. Who murmured against Moses and Aaron, and in what places did the people desire to die? Well, it was the children of Israel that murmured against Moses and Aaron and desired to die either in Egypt or in the wilderness.
Yes, they wanted to...
Today's lesson here?
Yes, it is. I think it's back there. I think that's back there for you. Number 14. So they wanted to either die in...
Yes, thank you.
You see, they're murmuring and they wanted to die. They thought they'd be better off if they died in Egypt or died right there where they were in the wilderness. I mean, sometimes people, even today, think that for some reason, that there are things that are going on in their life that they murmur and they complain and they want to die for whatever reason. But they can't see what God wants them to see, or they don't want to do what God wants them to do, so they can't have the victory that they need to have in order to proceed on with what they need to do.
Yes, in spite of what they've already seen God do for them.
Right, that's true. That's right.
Just
like the children of Israel. Some Christians today can many things. God did for many Christians today, many of us today. God's done many things for us in the past, just like he's done many things for them in the past, from, you know, going through, passing through the Red Sea. You know, that's if the 10 plagues weren't enough, you know, God didn't stop there. You know, he brought them through the Red Sea so they could cross upon dry land, dry ground. You know, it wasn't muddy, you know, it wasn't whatsoever, it was dry. And we notice here in verse 3, who did the children of Israel falsely believe would become a prey? And to where do they want to return? They thought their children would be a prey. And they thought that they wanted to go back to where they came from, back to Egypt. Tammy.
Said our wives
and our children.
Okay. That's right. Don't forget the wives.
That's right.
What is that?
We're talking, I left out the wives in verse 3.
Verse 3.
The question was asked, who did they think would be a prey? And the answer to the question is not only the children, but the wives. The wives and the children. That's who is going to be a prey. And they wanted to go back to where they came from. Why would they want to go back there? But that's where they desired to go back. And
it's what they knew. Got comfortable with it in spite of the hardship.
What they knew, what they were comfortable with, even though it was very hard for them. Had a lot of hardships there, and they wanted to go back to where they came from, rather than having the desire to go ahead to something that perhaps that God would have for them in the promised land. And so, Bill and answer question 4, please.
Who
When did the children of Israel want to make? They wanted to make a captain to replace Moses with.
Yeah, they wanted to make a captain, someone that could lead them back to where they came from. And who fell on their faces because of this? We see that both Moses and Aaron fell on their faces. And they were very troubled at what the assembly was saying and what they wanted to do.
What verse are we in?
We're going to read verse 6.
Of what?
John's going to read verse 6. Numbers chapter 14, verse 6.
Is that our chapter 14?
It is. It should say right there on your piece of paper.
I can't see. I should go get another pair of glasses.
Maybe you can push them up higher.
No.
No? I wonder who this is. Okay, we're right ready to read verse 6, but we have a caller here that wants to make a comment about these five verses. Hello? Hello? All right, we'll raise it up some, okay? Good. Thank you. All right, John, go ahead. Verse 6.
And Joshua, the son of Nun, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, which were of them that searched the land, rent their clothes.
And they spake unto all the company of the children of Israel, saying, the land which we passed through to search it is an exceeding good land.
And,
verse 8.
Mom, go ahead and read the next verse, please. Verse 8.
I keep losing my place. Numbers 14:8.
Numbers 14:8.
It's on the left page. 14:8. If the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it to us. A land which floweth with milk and honey.
Only rebel not against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not.
But all the congregation bade stone them with stones, and the glory of the Lord appeared in the tabernacle of the congregation before all the children of Israel. We're going to talk about verse 6 in verse 14. Now, you have this piece of paper from the back?
Yes.
What does it say at the top?
Number study guide.
What book are we studying on Numbers?
Numbers 14.
Okay, so that's where we're at. In Numbers 14, and we're on verse 6. Do you see that? And then you
on
look
the paper.
On page 2 on the piece of paper.
Yes, I see that. What did Joshua and Caleb rend?
Yes, okay, good. So that's the verse we're at right now.
14:6.
And we see their response. We said Moses and Aaron fell on their faces, and Joshua and Caleb rent their clothes. They both responded. Both men, both Aaron and Moses responded, and Joshua and Caleb, both of them responded. Now, there was a difference in at least about 40 years between them. Give or take a few little bit here or there. But so what was this difference? The difference between rending one's clothes and falling in their faces. Yes, but what do you think the difference would be?
One action?
I'm sorry, I missed what you said.
I just wondered, I thought that was one action.
There are two actions. The action of Moses and Aaron were to fall on their faces. The action of Joshua and Caleb was to rend their clothes.
Okay.
Two different people groups. Now the one people group, those men, Moses and Aaron, were in their 80s. The other people group, Joshua and Caleb, I suspect, were in their 40s. And so, how are the responses different, and how are the responses the same? What would you say? Do older people sometimes, Tammy?
Well, they were both upset by it.
Yes, they were.
But the older people responded by going to the person that could help them.
Yes.
The only person that could help them.
Right. Mm-hmm. Shall we do me a favor and turn this fan off in this room here? Well, we're going to turn a fan off. If you want to hear better, there is a hearing device either under the chair of Ernie or in the back table there.
It's over here.
You put it in your ears. So, as Tammy said,
Thank you, John.
Moses and Aaron went to the Lord, the one that could help. You know, they fell on their faces, and their response was to go to the Lord, go to God, go to the Creator. Josh and Caleb were upset, and they were trying to just demonstrate their grief and their upsetness and their sorrow by of them responding to the congregation by demonstrating on something on the outside by rending their clothes. John,
wasn't culturally rending of the clothes also a sign of shame?
Sometimes it was. Sometimes it was, yes. Either shame or grief.
Death.
And death, yes.
Mm-hmm. They do that when people die.
Right. There's a special hairy assistant back there for you.
You don't have to do that.
Right here.
I thought I brought the hearing aids up that I did.
It's okay. These will help you hear better.
It's too long to explain. I'm not supposed to talk anyhow.
If you adjust the volume right there, the volume control, these go in your ears.
Where's the ears? Oh.
Right here. And if it's too soft, you change the volume on that, okay? That'll help you hear everybody else, I think. We were just making an adjustment with a... we have a...
I don't know how to do
it.
Hearing assistant device. So, looking to verse 7, question number 7. This question is for you all. Can you hear any better now?
I don't know.
Is there anything coming into the ears, or that the volume has been turned up some?
No, it seems less. It seems
yeah,
less.
Turn the volume up then.
I don't know. Why are you supposed to be sneaking in here?
Okay, it's okay. Nobody, you are sneaking in here.
I don't know how to do it.
And so, this question is for you. Okay?
All right.
How did Joshua and Caleb describe the land?
How did what?
How did Joshua and Caleb describe the land?
What verse?
Verse 7 on Numbers 14.
And they spake unto all the company of the children of Israel, saying, the land which we pass through to search it is an exceedingly good land.
So that's right.
What was the question?
How did they describe the land?
That is a very beautiful land.
It's an exceedingly good land. Now, why is it important for the land to be considered good? Does everyone ever have any plant any vegetables before? Any have any plants before? We talked about this a couple weeks ago, I suppose, or a few weeks back. And how important is it for us to have some good land? Got a comment there? A thought.
Okay. Hello from Wendy B. in Wisconsin. They wanted to go back to familiar ground, perhaps. How blessed we are to be given the opportunity to learn from them. Thank you for the study, Pastor Hitter, with them out.
Oh, thank you, Wendy, for that comment. Make sure you turn that off.
It feels better with... I can hear better with them off.
Good. Good. I'm glad. I'm glad you're hearing better with them off. Thank you, Wendy, for giving us that text message. It was a text message, right?
Yes.
For the text message. We appreciate it. So there's someone listening to us from Wisconsin.
That's good.
Isn't that nice? And so the land was exceedingly good. Now, so what are some things... have you ever planted anything, Bill, anytime in the ground?
No.
Or watch anything be planted in the ground and pick anything from the ground? No, probably you.
No, you didn't put your pound capsule in the ground.
John?
Yes, what they're looking for is they need good soil, dark soil, so they'll grow their crops. Also, need to be well irrigated so they can have it as the crops grow. Mm-hmm. And they've also got grazing lands for their sheep and so forth.
Right? Mm-hmm. How about you, Tammy?
Yeah, I've grown several things. Mm-hmm. So, I guess the answer to your question is. Either you have good soil or you amend the soil, or you have adequate rain, or you amend the land by irrigating, which, from my understanding, is what they do in a lot of places in Israel today.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Yeah, they have it down to a very precise science. They conserve as much water as they can. You know, for each plant gets the right amount of water. Yeah. So they'll do a very good job of that.
When, yeah. when they move back to the promised land, it was just desert.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah. No one had any interest in it before they got there.
Right, because nothing would grow for them.
Mm-hmm. So, but they figured it out, didn't they?
Well, the blessings were with the Jewish people.
Mm-hmm. They figured it out. And so what did the promised land flow? It says here in verse 8, it says, the land flowing with milk and honey. And so it was very, very good land, a land that would have plenty of opportunity for them to have make good use of the land. And so Tammy, verse number 9, to whom were the children of Israel not to rebel, and who were they not to fear, and what departed from those inhabiting the land?
They were not to rebel against the Lord. Mm-hmm. They were not to fear the people of the land, and they were... they departed from... I'm sorry. I'm just trying to answer the question.
Okay. So, maybe it wasn't phrased
those
quite well.
Inhabiting the land, their defense departed from
right.
those
okay.
that were inhabiting the land, the people that were from that particular
yes,
land.
Yes, probably by pronouncing and seeing the agreement wasn't quite...
No, it's
like
fine.
Been.
It's fine. I was just... You had already read the question, so I didn't... I had to read the question
okay.
again in
okay.
order to make it... A sentence to make sense.
Mm-hmm. I got it. I understand. And so, now if anyone's calling here, make sure we give them the number about this number that's 863-208-0120, the number up there that they could join the class if that's a call for me for this class. I don't know if it is or not. But what did the congregation desire to do to Joshua and Caleb, and where did the glory of the Lord appear? Well, the congregation wanted to stone Joshua and Caleb. They wanted to put them to death. You know, they came with the positive, they were being very positive, and they were coming with faith that God could give them the land. And why wouldn't they have the faith that God could give them the land? That's the proper response. They all should have had that response, but sadly they did not. And so when the Lord saw this, he appeared in the tabernacle of the congregation. God manifests his glory in the pillar of fire by day and in the pillar of cloud in the evening time. Probably the other way around, pillar of cloud in the daytime and pillar of fire in the evening time. Let's read a few more verses. John, verse 11.
And the Lord said unto Moses, how long will this people provoke me? And how long will it be ere they believe me? For all the signs which I have showed among them.
I will smite them with the pestilence and disinherit them, and will make of thee a greater nation and mightier than they.
And Moses said unto the Lord, then the Egyptians shall hear it, for thou broughtest up this people in thy might from among them.
And they will tell it to the inhabitants of this land, for they've heard that the Lord art among this people, that the Lord art seen face to face, and that thy cloud standeth over them, and that thou goest before them by day time in a pillar of cloud and a pillar of fire by night. So John, question 11, please.
Question 11. Who was provoking the Lord? That would be the people of Israel. And what had the Lord showed them? He showed them signs, many signs.
Yeah. They started back there and when they were coming out of Egypt, and even before that as well.
Before that, yeah.
Before that as well.
All the plagues on Egypt?
Yes.
And didn't affect them?
Mm-hmm. And I'm noticing here with question 11, what could the Lord have smitten the children of Israel? And of whom could the Lord have made a mighty nation? God could have smitten those people, the children of Israel, with a pestilence. He could have killed them in an instant. Verse 12?
Yeah, you said verse 11.
I'm sorry. Verse 12. Thank you for noticing that important difference. In verse 12, God could have smote them with pestilence, and God could have made of Moses a great nation. But we'll see here what Moses has to say about that. Bill, question 13, please.
Who did Moses tell the Lord would hear? The Egyptians.
It's the idea here. If Moses said, come on, if you come out here, he was telling the Lord, pleading with the Lord, if you kill all these people and make them a great nation, then the Egyptians are going to hear about it. They're going to think that that's the reason why he brought them out into the wilderness, to kill them. And so that's what Moses was trying to reason with the Lord, to be able to spare this people. And looking in verse 14, what stood over the people? Thy cloud standeth over the people. And so that's where God, in the daytime, his glory was manifest in that cloud, and nighttime was in a pillar of fire. Let's read, let's do two verses now. We're going to do, read through, each of us read one verse, and then we'll read another verse, set of verses that will be coming through two times. So John, read verse 15, verse 19. So begin with verse 15.
Now if thou shalt kill all those people as one man, then the nations which have heard the fame of thee will speak, saying,
because the Lord was not able to bring this people into the land which he sware unto them, therefore he hath slain them in the wilderness.
And now I beseech thee, let the power of the Lord be great, according as thou hast spoken, saying,
and the Lord is long-suffering and of great mercy, forgiving iniquity and transgression, and by no means clearing the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation. John, verse 19.
Pardon, I beseech thee, the iniquity of this people, according unto the greatness of thy mercy, as thou hast forgiven this people from Egypt even until now.
And the Lord said, I have pardoned according to thy word.
But as truly as I live, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord.
Because all those men which have seen my glory and my miracles, which I did in Egypt and in the wilderness, and have tempted me now these 10 times, and have not hearkened unto my voice. Looking back here at question 15. Tam, you want to do question 15, please?
Sure. What was the Lord considering to do? He was considering killing all of Israel and making Moses a great nation.
That's right. And looking at question 16.
Well, which...
Please make further observation about that.
It's just interesting because that means that Joshua and Caleb, and even those that may have actually believed what God had promised, and believe what Joshua and Caleb, you know, had said, which I'm sure there were some, very many, but there were some, they would have been slain too.
Yes, that's right. And then verse 16, what did Moses say would be the false claim of Israel's enemies? And this is the false claim, because the Lord was not able to bring this people into the land which he swore unto them. That would be the false claim that would be used if God, that Moses was using, if God went ahead and destroyed all the people. He's able to do it. He's capable of doing it. John, question 17, please.
17. What did Moses desire to be great? The power of the Lord.
The power of the Lord. We have to have that same desire as Moses had, the desire that his power is great. And how is the Lord's mercy described? And how many generations is iniquity of the fathers visited? We see here the mercy is described as his great mercy. His mercy is great. Receiving something we do not, not receiving something we do deserve, that's God's mercy. And we see the third and fourth generation. That's how far the iniquity of the fathers would be visited.
Where does it say that?
Verse 18.
Oh, what chapter?
14.
Okay, thank you.
How about question 19?
What did Moses want the Lord to pardon? The people's iniquity.
The iniquity of the people. They transgressed. He wanted to pardon them. He was trying to intercede for them. He was trying to be a mediator between that they didn't realize perhaps how close they were to judgment, to death, God consuming them. And certainly they knew that God could do it, but they were trying to push him beyond his limits. And how did the Lord pardon? We see here in verse 20, I pardoned according to thy word, meaning referencing to the word of Moses. Perhaps if Moses had not interceded for the people, he would have gone through and slain all of them. Mom, question 21, please.
With what was the earth to be filled? 14:21. But as truly as I live, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord.
That's right. So be filled.
When was that to be?
With the glory of the Lord. That's how. As far as during this time of pardoning, when God pardoned the people. And perhaps even into the future, into the present time period. Bill?
Yeah, I was thinking of a future event there. Mm-hmm. Yeah. The earth was filled with the glory when Jesus came to
yes.
earth.
Mm-hmm.
When he was present here on the earth, that was the glory of the Lord right there. Mm-hmm.
That's right. Good. Verse 22. For how many times was the Lord tempted? We see he was tempted. Ten times, wasn't it? And to what have they not hearkened? They haven't hearkened to his voice. Even though, and people today, we have to listen to what God says. If you don't listen to what God says, then we will be ending up in a situation where the children of Israel ended up. If we do what's right, then God rewards according to what we do. If we do what's wrong, then we're rewarded according to our wrongdoings that we have done. Let's go ahead and read some more verses. We'll do two times again. Mom, your thought?
22, surely shall the land which I have sworn to thee. Well, when they've tested, or have tempted, I said, doesn't that tempted me tested?
Yeah, so you're in chapter 14, verse 22?
Yes, 22. I got mixed up in the beginning there.
22.
Yeah, sometimes it does.
Yes, it does, I think.
It does, I think you're right. You're right.
Like there hath no temptation, no testing.
Mm-hmm. How about you, John? John, please read verse 23.
Surely they shall not see the land which I swear unto their fathers, neither shall any of them that provoked me see it.
But my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit with him, and hath followed me fully, him I will bring into the land whereinto he went, and his seed shall possess it.
Hey, read verse 25, Mom, please read that one.
25.
Read verse 25.
Now the Amalekites and the Canaanites dwelt in the valley. Tomorrow turn you and get you into the wilderness by the way of the Red Sea.
And the Lord spake unto Moses and unto Aaron, saying,
how long shall I bear with this evil congregation which murmur against me? I have heard the murmuring of the children of Israel, which they murmured against me.
Say unto them, as truly as I live, saith the Lord, as ye have spoken in mine ear, so will I do to you.
Your carcasses shall fall in this wilderness, and all that were numbered of you, according to your whole number, from 20 years old and upward, which have murmured against me.
Go to read verse 30, please, Mom. Verse 14, 30?
Yes, I see it. They,
Go ahead and read the verse first, and we'll talk about it.
Okay. Doubtless ye shall not come into the land concerning which I swear to make you dwell therein, save Caleb, the son of Jephthah, and Joshua, the son of Nun.
Right,
but your little ones, which you said should be a prey, them will I bring in, and they shall know the land which ye have despised.
But as for your carcasses, they shall fall in this wilderness. All right, so Tammy, question 23, please.
what were they not going to see? The promised land.
And they weren't going to see the promised land. Because of their murmurings, their complainings, because of their lack of faith, they were not going to see the promised land. And in question 24, who had another spirit within him? They see Caleb. He had a different spirit, another spirit within him. So these two, Joshua and Caleb, were the only exceptions of the men who were above 20 years old who were able to see, who were able to see the promised land. And John, question 25.
25. Who lived in the valley? To where were the children of Israel to turn? The Amalekites and the Canaanites lived in a valley, and they were turned into the wilderness by the way of the Red Sea.
Okay, so they weren't going to be able to go into the land. You see who was living in the valley and where they had to go back. This is their judgment for the lack of faith that's coming upon them. And in verse 26, didn't the Lord speak? We see this all the time throughout the book of Numbers and elsewhere in the Old Testament, and at least in the books we've been looking at recently. And he spoke unto both Aaron and to Moses. That's who, to whom he spoke. Mom, question 27, please.
What did you say about Aaron?
Aaron and Moses. God spoke to Aaron and Moses, verse 26.
Okay. But now what did you ask me?
Read verse 27, please.
How long shall I bear with this evil congregation which murmur against me? I have heard murmurings of the children of Israel, which they murmur against me.
What's the question? Read question 27.
27.
How long did the Lord describe the congregation? How did the Lord describe the congregation? Verse 27.
And what did they hear?
Mm-hmm.
Is that my question?
Yeah, that's your question. How would they describe and what did they hear?
What? Pardon me?
Question 27. Go ahead and answer it, please. Read it and answer it.
Okay. 14:27. How long shall I hear with this evil congregation?
So they described an evil congregation. That's how they described, right? An evil congregation.
Which murmur against me.
And that's what they heard.
Yeah.
The murmurings. And so in whose ears did Moses and Aaron speak? They spoke into Lord's ears.
They didn't like what they heard.
And 10, question 29, please.
What was going to fall in the wilderness? Their carcasses or dead bodies. And from what age and upward were they going to fall? 20 years old and upward.
20 years old and upward. And who were the only ones above that age that the Lord was going to permit to enter the promised land? You see here, verse 30 says, Joshua and Caleb. Joshua, the son of Jephunneh. That's Joshua, the son of Nun. And Caleb, the son of Jephunneh. John, question 31, please.
31. Who did they believe would be a prey? That would be the little ones. And what did they despise? They despised the land.
Mm-hmm. This beautiful land flowing with milk and honey, the promised land, they didn't want it. And the little ones, they thought, the young children thought were going to be the prey. They're the ones that God was going to allow to inherit the land 40 years after the time that they rejected the land. And notice here in verse 32, what was going to fall in the wilderness, we see it says their carcasses were going to fall in the wilderness. Let's read a few more verses. Go in John, verse 33.
33. And your children shall wander in the wilderness 40 years, and bear your whoredoms until your carcasses be wasted in the wilderness.
After the number of the days in which you search the land, even 40 days, each day for a year, shall you bear your iniquities, even 40 years, and ye shall know my breach of promise.
Go ahead, Mom, read verse 35 of chapter 14, please.
35?
Yes.
Of 14. Oh, dear. It's over here. 35. I, the Lord, have said I will surely do unto this evil congregation that are gathered together against me in this wilderness. They shall be consumed and they shall die. wonder what that means.
And the men which Moses sent to search the land, who returned and made all the congregation to murmur against him by bringing up a slander upon the land.
Even those men that did bring up the evil report upon the land died by the plague before the Lord. All right, so, looking back here to verse 33. Bill, want to do question 33, please?
For how many years were the children going to wander in the wilderness? In part two, what were they going to bear? They were going to wander for 40 years, and what were they going to bear? Their whoredoms, their sins.
Yeah, that's right. One, they were, well, for the spies were in the land for 40 days, and so God caused them to wander for 40 years. Each day was a year. They were going to wander around in the wilderness until they actually were to die off. And for how many days was the land searched? We see here, verse 34, the land was searched for 40 days. And,
can I ask?
Please do. Please make a comment and ask a question.
Verse 33?
Yes.
The children were going to wander 40 years. If there were children, they would have been under 20. And they were going to bear there.
Right. Got it. That's a good observation.
Parents, whoredoms, so that they don't follow in their footsteps.
Mm-hmm. That's good. Good observation. You know, the children, that's what it says there, verse 33. It's the children, too, that will wander. And
I mean, don't you think the bear, your whoredoms, referring to the parents' whoredoms?
Yes, I think so.
Yeah,
I agree with that observation. You know, with this. What do you think, Bill?
Well, I think this is a picture of the sin that we're born in.
Okay.
We didn't choose to sin immediately, but we were born.
Yes, we were.
Under that curse. This is also a picture of that.
As far as the children bearing the sin, the whoredoms of the parents, okay?
Right.
And so, in verse 33, pardon me, verse 35, want to answer question 35, please, Mom? Question 35.
Where was the evil congregation going to die? Numbers 14:35. The Lord has said, I will surely do it unto all this evil congregation that are gathered together against me in this wilderness. They shall be consumed, and there they shall die.
So where are they going to die?
In the wilderness.
In the wilderness, that's right. Follow thoughts?
I lose them as fast as I get them.
Okay. When it comes back, let me know. All right?
Okay.
When your thought...
It was about... Yeah, it was a good thought, but it's gone. Go ahead.
And looking at question 36, what did the 10 men cause the children of Israel to do? To murmur. To complain, to murmur. They convinced them that things weren't right, that God was wrong. They got things all wrong, backwards and upside down. And so the 10, they were 10 of them and not 2 of them, they still were wrong in what they were doing. Tammy, a thought, did you?
No.
You want to do question 37, please?
Sure. Did it come to you? Your thought?
Well, it's something about the children of Israel. Before they went into the wilderness, they could look over into the wilderness. And they kept sinning, I guess. Is that what happened?
We know that Moses was able to see. You're talking about the promised land of the wilderness.
I'm talking about the promised land.
To the promised land.
Okay.
I don't know. This is when I read it at the end of last year, or the beginning of this year.
Okay.
It just seemed like, go ahead. I can't remember the exact thing. It was very interesting, though.
Good.
Go ahead.
Yes, go to verse 37.
How did the 10 men die? But the plague before the Lord.
Okay, so the 10 died immediately, it seems like. And the remainder died over the course of the 40 years.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So they were sick if they had a plague, they had a disease.
It was a plague that God brought upon them.
Yeah.
And then they died.
And they died.
So it wasn't something that they had for a long time.
It wasn't a supernatural plague, not a natural plague.
It was supernatural.
Let's read some more verses. Begin here with verse 38. John 38.
But Joshua, the son of Nun, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, which were of the men that went to search the land, lived still.
And Moses told these sayings unto the children of Israel, and the people mourned greatly.
Can we read verse 40 for me, please, Mom?
40?
Mm-hmm.
And they rose up early in the morning and gat them up onto the top, into the top of the mountain, saying, Lo, we be here, and we'll go up into the place which the Lord hath promised, for we have sinned.
And Moses said, Wherefore now do ye transgress the commandment of the Lord? But it shall not prosper.
Go not up, for the Lord is not among you, that ye be not smitten before your enemies. Go ahead, John, verse 33.
For the Amalekites and the Canaanites are there before you, and ye shall fall by the sword, because ye are turned away from the Lord. Therefore the Lord will not be with you.
But they presumed to go up into the hilltop. Nevertheless, the ark of the covenant of the Lord and Moses departed not out of the camp.
Can you read verse 45, please, Mom?
45.
Yes.
Then the Amalekites came down, and the committees of the Canaanites, which dwelt in that hill, and smote them and discomforted them, even unto Hormah. I have something written up here for this verse. For the Amalekites did the Canaanites are there before you and shall fall by the sword, because ye are turned away from the Lord. Therefore the Lord will not be with you. And I have written here, Mary, I don't know what that means. It's a timing in God's all. T-A-W. Oh, there is a timing in God's will. Couldn't read the first
one. That's good.
There is a timing in God's will. And that's Dad said that one time when he was preaching, T-A-W. It is true. And I think, because I was wondering, did they have like a special cave that the six people went into and waited to die? It's sort of...
They would run around the wilderness.
Pardon me?
They would take a certain trek around the wilderness. A trek.
I know you said that, but I just want to make sure she knew.
You're a trek, not a truck.
Yeah.
A trek.
Yeah, I got track. It's the wonder I did.
It's close to what I was saying. In other words, they took a certain... I think they went...
Path,
a certain path they took, certain circuit they took through the wilderness.
Yeah. Waiting to die, I guess.
Yes.
That must have been terrible. Mm-hmm.
40 different stops. Either 40 or 48 different stops that they... 40, I think it was 40 different stops. For some reason, I think it was like an average one per year. But maybe that's a mistake. We have to double check that someplace.
It's in chapter 33.
This chapter?
I'm not sure if it's absolutely everything.
Okay, we're coming to that in a couple more chapters.
Yeah.
Which of the 12 lived? In verse 33, we know there were 12 spies sent out, one from each of the tribes. Joshua and Caleb were the only ones that lived. That's in verse 38.
Wait a minute. 38?
No, verse 14, 38. And, question 39.
39. Okay. Who told the people, and what did the people do? The people told Moses, and he told them, and the people mourned greatly.
Okay, so Moses was the one to talk to the people about the God's judgment coming upon them. And yes, that was the response. They mourned. They were always in this state of mourning or murmuring, and so they would have been able to avoid all this if they had been obedient to God. When did they rise up? To where did they go? And what did they acknowledge? They wanted to go back, and they wanted to start doing what God's will was after the fact. God told them to do something, and they didn't want to do it. They believed the report of the 12, rather, probably the report of the 10. And now, after God's judgment comes upon them, they hear God's judgment, they still want to try and do, now they're doing something God doesn't want them to do. God wanted them to do this earlier, but now he doesn't. So they rose early in the morning, they went up to the mountain, and they repented of their sin, and it's the way of sin, which they did sin, but yet, even the repentance, God's still, the punishment still was coming, and still was pending. And Bill, question 41.
What did the people transgress? The commandment of the Lord.
Yes, they transgressed the commandment of the Lord. We better not do that ourselves. We shouldn't transgress God's commandments. And what did Moses tell people not to do? We see in verse 42. He told them, don't go up. Do not go up. Go not up. The reason why they weren't supposed to go up because the Lord was not among them. Had the Lord been among them, they'd have had victory. But the Lord was not among them, so they did not go up. They were supposed to go up. Mom, question 43, please.
How were they going to fall? From where did they turn away? Numbers 14:43. For the go not up, for the Lord is not among you. 42, that ye be not smitten before your enemies, for the Amalekites and the Canaanites.
And this is question 43.
Yeah, this is verse 43, too.
Okay.
For the Amalekites and the Canaanites are there before you.
So that's right. They're going to fall by the sword, right?
And ye shall fall by the sword, because ye are turned away from the Lord. Therefore the Lord will not be with you. That must have been terrible.
Yes, it was terrible. So they turned away from the Lord, and they wanted to do what they wanted to do when they wanted to do it. First God told them to go. They said, we want to stay. And God told them to stay, and then to go. They're doing they're the opposite of what God really wants them to do. And so in verse 44, toward they go, and what did not depart out of the camp? And we see here they went up to the hilltop, but nevertheless we have the Ark of the Covenant remains back where they were. And Tammy, verse 40, question 45.
Who smote and discomfited them? The Amalekites and the Canaanites.
Right, so they insisted on going, and they did not have the battle. Had they gone when God told them to go, they would have had the victory, would have been able to go into the promised land, but they failed to obey when they were supposed to obey. And they disobeyed when they had everything backwards. Failure to obey God when God was telling them to do what they were supposed to do. And your thought, right?
They didn't follow God soon enough or quickly enough, and so he had nothing to do with them anymore. Is that how it goes?
Yes. That's right.
I forgot about this.
And so, question 46, John.
46. What are the dangers of murmuring against the Lord and desiring to return to Egypt? Dangers of murmuring against the Lord is to have his wrath upon you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and the dangerous desire to return to Egypt, well, you'll get what you asked for.
Mm-hmm. That's right. We don't want to go back there. If God brought us out, don't go back. Bill, your thoughts about question 46?
Lose the blessings.
Okay, in part one, the murmuring is not private, as in the case of the Egyptians, and so it is now. God is aware of it, as well as our realizing and your faith is humanistic reasoning as the final basis of truth. Mm-hmm. That's an important distinction, a final basis of truth. People tend to go back on that and this is how I see it, or that's how I see it.
Mm-hmm.
That's not the final basis of truth. Mm-hmm. God's word is the final basis of truth.
Yes, that's right.
And in much of what we read in the Bible, we can understand it's not like we're learning a new kind of way of thinking or anything. No. Some of the things that we think are true, but we can't always say, well, this is the way I reason it, and this is the way I reason that, and mm-hmm. that thing there. The final basis of truth is God's Word.
Yes, that's right.
And then the second part is desiring to return to Egypt. That's because they had no faith in God. Mm-hmm. They never questioned themselves about their thinking and about their reasoning.
Mm-hmm.
They question God, but they don't question themselves.
Mm. Yeah, it's got that backwards, don't we?
Yeah.
That's completely backwards. We should never question God, and we should always question ourselves.
Right.
Mom, your thoughts about this question number 46?
What are the dangers of murmuring against the Lord and desiring you? Why does he turn your face against you and then take your life?
Hmm. Maybe sometimes that's true. That's what happened in the case of the 10 spies.
What is that called when God takes the Christian home? I forget what that's called. Because of his disobedience.
Think about sin unto death, perhaps?
Yeah. He's not willing to follow the Lord. In the beginning, he probably was by the time he died. But.
Tammy, how about you? Question 46.
The dangers of murmuring against the Lord is that we will receive his judgment, his condemnation,
mm-hmm.
and we may have future consequences from that. And then desiring to return to Egypt. We lose sight of where the Lord wants to direct us today.
Mm.
So we begin to lose our way. And we begin to focus our attention on other things other than what His will and discontentment.
Mm-hmm. That's good. We'll talk about that now. Question 47, John. Verse 47. What is your understanding of God's mercy? And cite some examples. Maybe that didn't make it to your sheet. I don't know. Did it?
Oh, it's way down here.
Okay. Too far down.
I came to here. I stopped. I saw a blank.
Okay. Right.
What is
that
your
means you need to fill it in, John.
Let me see yours, Bill. Oh, the blank.
I didn't write anything out for 47. I did for 46 and all the others, but. I'm just going to say what I think for 47.
Your understanding of God's mercy. God's mercy is, us not getting what we deserve.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
You know. And cite some examples. Well, we're all deserving of death,
mm-hmm.
yet
we are.
Instead, mm-hmm. the Lord has provided a way out of death for us.
Yes, that's right. He has. Someone else had to die for us in order for that to happen. Bill, your thoughts on question 47.
I think of 40, God's mercy as a lesson for us. When we get a pardon for something that we know we're guilty of, we confess that guilt, we can be pardoned from it. Not always. I mean, when we sin, we realize we may have done something wrong. We still got to pay a price for it.
Mm-hmm.
But realizing that alone, even though we may have to pay a price,
yes.
is still a pardon in itself.
Mm-hmm.
And examples, of course, would be our sin, our sinful nature, and we could, we receive forgiveness for that. But also in historical context, the Babylon, taking the southern tribes of Israel, 100 years after Syria conquered the northern tribes up there. And that was an example of God showing the southern tribes that he really is, he mm-hmm. does exist, that they were guilty of their sins. That was an example to them.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that's right. Question 47, Mom.
What is your understanding of God's mercy? And cite some examples. Is there a verse that goes with this?
No, just what do you... When we talk about mercy,
yeah.
God's mercy in particular, what do you think of?
I guess mercy I forget the definition of mercy. It was some little mercy. Something that you learn at school. You forgot when you got out.
All right.
God's mercy is giving us something that we don't deserve and we never will deserve. I guess. That's what mercy is. I don't know.
All right, Tammy, how about you? Your thoughts about this question?
Well, to add to what John said about not getting what we deserve, the case in this chapter with Israel, God wanted to slay, the Lord was going to slay the children of Israel, aside from the 10 spies, which died immediately, but the children of Israel, they had 40 years to have their heart turned back to the Lord, so they it was an act of mercy that he didn't kill them immediately.
Yes.
So sometimes when God withholds his judgment, at least for a period of time, or delays it, perhaps is a better way to put it. And then, long-suffering, another thing as far as mercy, long-suffering toward our sin, kind of relates to that. But, in our own lives, if we have sin in a particular area, and we confess it to the Lord, and then we struggle with that, the Lord is still long-suffering with that.
He's
long-suffering, not willing that any should perish. You think of those that are unsaved, that continually put off, the gospel message. That's mercy.
Right.
And so, different ways that he's merciful. Salvation. The spiritual growth. I mean, he doesn't say, okay, get it right. Shape it up right now. He's merciful with us. He teaches us and he guides us. He gives us things that we need to know and understand. And he doesn't try and overwhelm us by trying to teach us 50 things all at the same time. If the Lord's working on something in our lives, he gives us just what we can bear.
That's right. Okay, more thoughts about this this chapter? Chapter 14? Well, if not, next week we'll come back for chapter 15. Bill, would you please close in prayer?
Father in heaven, we thank you for the blessings that you give us. The chance to be here in this class, studying these verses which you have given us, learning to understand that we are not complete in ourselves, the most important part is you, and it is you that we must learn to understand from. Our own thinking is limited. All of the people in the world combined could not equal the wisdom of the Lord, and it never will. Father, we pray that we will always have access to you, which we believe we will, and we thank you for everything that you do for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.